Yes, well, God is doing great things here at Bethel Church. He's doing great things around the world, but we're celebrating the good things God is doing right here at Bethel. Every week, miracles are taking place. Every week, we're hearing such wonderful stories about what God is doing, and we're so, so thankful to the Lord. Tonight, we are launching a class that we started a couple of years ago, and we offer it once a year. It's called the Freedom Course, and I teach it. It takes place in the chapel. We'll start at 5:30. We have a nice group already signed up, but if you didn't sign up yet, we did make some extra workbooks, and so just show up if you'd like to, 5:30 in the chapel. And the Freedom Course is all about the fact that Jesus forgives us from our past, but he also sets us free from our past. And it's such a wonderful teaching, and the Lord has used it in so many people's lives. So come to the Freedom Course tonight. I also wanted to share with you, before we get into the Word, three opportunities that we have at Bethel Church every single week to pray. We have a conviction that everything in our church rises and falls with prayer. Everything really important that happens as we pray. And so because of that, we offer several opportunities throughout the week to come together for corporate prayer. First of all, every Wednesday night we meet right in here for Pursuit Service, and we have a great time of worship and prayer together. Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. for you morning folks, we've got a prayer group that meets in the chapel. And then every Sunday morning before service at 9 o'clock, we have prayer back in the prayer room. And this morning, there was such a great gathering of people. We had such a powerful time of prayer. And so I just want to encourage you, just make that. Maybe you can't make it every week, but make it a part of your routine to come together with the family of God to pray together and seek the Lord. And if we're really serious about the things of God, we're going to pray about them. We really are. And so I just want to, just as your pastor, encourage you to take advantage of those prayer opportunities. And speaking of prayer, I want us to pray right now that the Word of God will speak to our hearts. So I'm going to ask you to stand once again with me, and we're just going to say a quick prayer. You know, every Sunday, I bathe this Sunday morning service with prayer. Every week, I'm praying throughout the week. I'm preparing to teach, but I'm also praying, and I pray a lot of different things, but there's two basic things that I'm praying every week. And early on Sunday mornings, I'm seeking the Lord about these things, and I'm praying these two things: Lord, help me to say it right, and then I'm praying, Lord, help them to hear it right. Right? Help me say it right, and help you hear it right. And so I'm going to ask you right now, would you pray for yourself? Lord, help me to hear your word today. And help your word, may your word just impact my life. Help me to receive your word the way you would want me to. So make that your prayer right now. Lord, we thank you today for your word. God, we thank you that all of your promises are yes and amen in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that this Bible, God, is a gift from you, and there's no other book like it in all the world, that all scripture is God-breathed. So we pray that the truth of your word, Lord, will speak to our hearts today. We pray that it will encourage. We pray that it will strengthen. We pray that it will heal. We pray that it will convict, Lord, and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Twenty-eight years ago, Janice and I and our three children were seated in the home of our youth pastors, Mike and Becky Walsh, as we were pastoring the small church in Lincoln City on the Oregon coast. And so we're hanging out in the living room with Mike and Becky, and Becky seated on the floor, and I could tell she was a little uncomfortable. And so I asked her, you know, if there was something that was bothering her, and she explained to us that she had a problem in her neck. It was really bothering her, and this is a problem that she had since she was a teenager. Well, honestly, I didn't think much more about it. We continued with our conversation, and a few minutes into our conversation, Becky stands up. She'd been seated on the floor. She stands up, and she says, "My neck is better. The pain is gone. I think the Lord just healed me." And so I was kind of confused because we really hadn't stopped to pray for her neck. And she explained to us that while we continued our conversation, our daughter Stephanie, who was 3 years old at the time, walked over and came up behind Becky, just unnoticed really by any of us, and put her hand on Becky's neck and prayed a whispered prayer into her ear and said, "Jesus, please heal Becky's neck." Becky said that the moment Stephanie prayed, a warm sensation came across her neck and the pain was gone. Now, I happen to run into Mike and Becky about every 5 years at some event or another, and to this day, Becky has never had problems with that neck again. Hallelujah. Now listen, that miracle has always served as a life lesson for me, that it's not the person with the most education that gets God's attention. And it's not the person with the ministerial license that gets God's attention. The person who gets God's attention is the person who will come to Him with a simple, childlike trust and faith. So this morning, I want to encourage you as we open God's Word and we talk about healing, would you come to the Lord with simple, childlike faith? Amen. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 29 tells us a wonderful story of Jesus' healing power. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder. I won't shout louder, but "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. And the Lord answered, "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them. He touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Now, this great story appears in three of the four Gospels. It appears in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And you'll notice if you compare those Gospels, there's a little difference. In this version, in Matthew's Gospel, it says that Jesus was leaving Jericho. In the other Gospels, it says that he was arriving in Jericho. All right? And so I just want to throw this out there. It might confuse you a little bit. Historically, we know that there were actually two Jerichos. There was the old, ancient city of Jericho, but then as people were moving into Jericho, there was a whole new city of Jericho. So it was possible to be leaving Jericho and entering Jericho at the same time. And that's where Jesus and his disciples were. And of course, these blind men making a living begging, they're going to show up where all the traffic is, right? They're going to find a thoroughfare where people are moving from one place to another. And so that they are, and they're begging, and they begin to cry out to Jesus. And what they say about Jesus, how they address Jesus, is really significant here. They call him Lord, Son of David. And this title, Son of David, would be used of the Messiah. So this shows that they really believe that Jesus is not just like any other man. They know that he is the Messiah because, earthly speaking, Jesus was not the son of David. He was the son of Joseph, right? But the Messiah had to be a descendant of King David. And so these blind men are acknowledging the true identity of Jesus. And I want you to just keep that in mind today, that as we pray for healing, it's Jesus that we're seeking. He's the healer, amen? I'm not the healer, you're not the healer. Jesus is the one who heals, and it's because of who he is. There is nothing that's impossible for him. But as these guys begin to cry out to Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, the crowd starts to discourage them, and I'm going to call the crowd the shushers. I didn't say ushers. Like the great ushers we have here at Bethel Church, they're shushers. These guys are crying out and they're saying, shh. And the reason they're doing that is because they have an assumption that they know what Jesus does and what he doesn't do. And they assume that Jesus, because of how awesome he is, can't have time for these two guys, right? And so they see this as a distraction. You're just bothering Jesus. And they have no idea what the real heart of Jesus is. And so, I love this response. As they're being shushed, they shouted even louder. Love it. Shouted even louder. I mean, come on. They've been blind all their life. What do they have to lose, right? They're not going to miss this opportunity of being touched by Jesus because of a few shushers, right? So they cry out all the louder. And then the Bible says Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Now listen, when it comes to healing, there's a lot of excesses and extremes out there. And these excesses and extremes can cause a lot of confusion and pain. So when you teach that every person who has enough faith will be healed 100% of the time, then the person who doesn't receive their healing is going to feel guilty and ashamed and blame themselves, right? And so some of this extreme, excessive kind of teaching, it can bring a lot of heartache and pain. And so because of that, though, there's a lot of people that just say, we're not going to talk about that at all then. We're not going to talk about miracles. We're not going to talk about healing. We're just going to stay away from those things so nobody's feelings get hurt and there's no confusion, right? And so we overreact the other way. Listen, church, if you're really going to go after the things of God, you're going to have to politely ignore the shushers, right? These are the people that are going to tell you that miracles happen in the Bible, but they're not for us today. These are the people that are going to tell you not to get too excited during worship and don't get too loud because church should be dignified. The shushers. And I want to encourage you, if you want to really truly go after God with all of your heart, there's going to be times you're going to have to just politely ignore the shushers and go after Jesus. Amen? Right? You know, it's interesting. One of the signs of the last days, according to Paul when he wrote to Timothy, was that people would have a form of godliness denying its power. A form of godliness. In other words, they're going to show up to church, and they might even talk some from the Bible, but they're going to deny that the power of God is still available today. A form of godliness denying its power. This is what I would call a religious spirit. Church, this morning I want to remind you, we serve a living God. Amen? A God who did miracles and who still does miracles and will continue to do miracles. And so this morning we're going to have a time of prayer for anybody in this place that needs healing of any kind. And I mean healing of any kind because the Lord heals a lot of different ways. Of course, the Lord, first of all and foremost, he heals us spiritually. He takes our fractured relationship with God and he heals that relationship. Amen? And so I want you to know, if you've got a broken relationship with God today, I don't care how far from God you feel like you've become, I want you to know Jesus is able to heal that relationship. And you can leave this place today completely different from the person you came in. Yeah, because the Lord does spiritual healing in our lives. The Lord also does emotional healing. Emotional healing. You know, when we come to Christ, God forgives us immediately and completely. Absolutely. But sometimes we still have some of that baggage from our past, right? And we're carrying that stuff with us. But I want you to know today, the Lord is able to heal us of that baggage, those emotional scars. The Lord can bring healing emotionally. The Lord is also a healer of our minds. He can heal our minds of all kinds of brokenness. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I want you to know, if you've had mental illness or mental struggles, I want you to know Jesus can restore your mind. He can bring healing. Nothing's impossible for God. And then, of course, the Lord does physical healing. So God created our bodies, and He knows how to heal our bodies. And it doesn't matter how extreme our problem is, Jesus is able. I mean, He raised Lazarus from the grave after he was dead for 4 days. I think that qualifies as evidence that Jesus can heal of anything, right? Yeah. So we're going to pray this morning. We're going to believe God for healing. But first, I want to take us to a few scriptures to lay a good theological, biblical foundation for healing. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of Christ. So as we read the Bible, as we hear the Bible, as we hear these great stories about Jesus healing people, then it builds up our faith, right? And it positions us to be able to receive a miracle from the Lord. Now, there's stories throughout the Bible of the Lord healing people, not only in the New Testament with Jesus, but also in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, as the Israelites are coming out of Egypt and preparing to go into the promised land, the Lord gives them this promise. He says, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, it's interesting. This is a covenant name that the Lord uses of Himself. In Hebrew, Yahweh Rapha. It means the Lord who heals. So it's in God's very nature to heal. And so God establishes this healing covenant, and went basically like this. If you'll obey my commands, then I will make sure that you're healthy. All right? And God was true to His word. He kept His covenant with His people. Now listen, we're not under the covenant of law anymore. Thank God for that. Amen? We're under a better covenant. We're under a covenant of grace. And it was established by Jesus. Remember, the night before He went to the cross, as He shared that Last Supper with His disciples, He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. So church, we're under a better covenant than they were in the Old Testament. And it's not based on us keeping the law. It's based on faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's right. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says this. It says, by His wounds you have been healed. So we still have a covenant of healing through Jesus Christ. And remember, Jesus' last words on the cross, it is finished. In other words, church, everything that needs to be done to pay for my healing and your healing, Jesus has already done. Amen? Yeah. And so we come to the Lord with childlike faith based on His promises. And then, of course, moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament in the Gospels, we see Jesus everywhere He went. He healed people, and there's so many stories like the one we read already this morning. In Acts chapter 10, there's kind of a summary of Jesus' healing ministry. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. Now, I want you to see here, in Luke's mind, there's a connection between the goodness of God and Jesus' healing ministry. Because He is good, He heals. Because He's good, He heals. He has compassion on those who are suffering. And for Jesus, healing people was always a matter of compassion. Jesus never did it for the show. Never did it for the show. Jesus always healed because He had compassion on the person He was healing. And I want to just encourage us with that today, that as we're praying for healing, let's don't do it for the show. Let's do it out of compassion for the person who's suffering. Amen? out of compassion. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't need the Lord to show me one more thing in my life. He's already done enough for me. Amen? If God doesn't do one more thing for me, I'm going to go to heaven a happy man. He's done so much for me already. I don't need him to prove himself again to me. I don't need him to prove himself over and over. But I am asking this, Lord, out of compassion and love, heal the sick. Amen? Heal the sick, not because I need to see anything, but because of your love. He always healed out of love and compassion. Now you might say, well, Tim, that was Jesus, and he's in heaven now. And I want to say, well, yes and no. Yes, he is in heaven, but he's also here. Because he poured out his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of Jesus is here this morning. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so Jesus has filled us with his Spirit, and he has given us authority to pray for the sick and believe for healing. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus said this amazing thing to his followers. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even, everybody say, greater works. Greater works than these. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Listen, Benny Hinn didn't make that up. Jesus did. Amen? Come on. Jesus is the one that made this promise. So he's here with us this morning. And then another amazing, amazing promise Jesus gave his disciples. Matthew 16 and verse 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's a pretty amazing promise. Pretty interesting word. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. He's given those to us. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, let's keep it pretty simple this morning. What do keys do? They give you access to something you didn't have access to before. It's that simple. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you access. Access to where? The kingdom of heaven, right? I'm giving you access to things you never had before, things you've never known before, authority you've never had before, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, one day we get to live fully in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? But until then, we get glimpses of what the kingdom is going to be like. This is why Jesus, when his disciples said, teach us to pray, he prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These are the keys of the kingdom. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you kingdom access now. One day you're going to be in the kingdom, but I'm giving you access to the kingdom right now. So let me ask you, is there sickness in the kingdom? Absolutely not. Is there disease in the kingdom? No. Is there depression in the kingdom? Nope. Is there death in the kingdom? Absolutely not. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you kingdom access right now. Right now. That one day there's going to be no sickness, no more death. No more illness. It's all going to be gone. No more funerals. Church, I said, no more funerals. But until then, we don't have to wait. We can have glimpses of the kingdom now Because he has given us the keys of the kingdom. We have access now, today. And this is what we're doing as we pray today for healing. So listen, I want you to just get this. Important to our understanding. Go ahead and put that slide up. Important to our understanding as it relates to believing God for healing is knowing that sickness, disease, and even death were not a part of God's original creation and are not a part of the new creation. Right? Yeah. There are those who would have us believe that God created the world and then pretty much left it alone to run on its own. There are people that believe that Jesus came into the world, died on the cross to save us, but then pretty much left us. But I want to tell you this morning, God sent his Holy Spirit to empower us. Amen? He gave us his word. He gave us spiritual gifts. He gave us authority to pray in the name of Jesus and to believe him for powerful signs and wonders and miracles and healings. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So when we pray today, we are going to bind the power of sickness and we're going to loose the power to heal. Amen? We're going to loose life in Jesus' name. James wrote, you do not have because you do not ask. And so today we're going to ask. And listen, I've wrestled with all the questions. Why do I pray for this person and they get healed? And then I pray for the next person and they don't get healed. You know what? I still don't have an answer for that. But I have decided that I'm at peace in my life with God to not having all of my questions answered right now. Amen? And I'm going to act in simple childlike faith. I'm going to stand on the word of God and his promises, even if I can't figure it all out up here. Amen? Yeah. And so I want to encourage you, all those questions, and let's bring them to the Lord. Amen? And let's put our trust in him. Jesus said this pretty simply, Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now listen, Jesus isn't saying here that we're all terrible parents. What he is saying is that our goodness pales in comparison to the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Amen? And that we, with our sin nature, want good things for our children, as selfish as we are. How much more can we trust our Father in heaven to do good things when we ask him? Yeah. Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father. And it's the heart of the Father to heal his children. You know, there are those that would give us a picture of God as being angry and vindictive, eager to punish. Church, this is not the God of the Bible. Amen? Our God is a God of compassion and love and grace and patience. Even when it comes to judgment, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Listen, church, does God want anyone to perish? No. Are people going to perish? Yeah. But not because God wants them to. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So this is written for the person who mocks the preaching that Jesus is coming back and would say, it's been 2,000 years. You still believe Jesus is coming back? Yeah, well, don't mock the Lord because he's not coming back yet because he's waiting on you if you don't know him yet. He's giving you every opportunity. There's going to be a day when it's too late, but thank God that's not right now. We still have an opportunity, if we haven't already, to get our lives right with God through Jesus Christ and be ready for that day when the Lord is going to come back and bring judgment on this world. But I want you to see that God is compassionate and loving and gracious. That's why Jesus came. So in just a moment, we're going to pray and we're going to trust God for healing in our lives. You know, the Bible says that everything is possible. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Salvation is possible. Healing is possible for the one who believes. Miracles are possible for the one who believes. So I'm going to ask everybody, if you just bow your heads with me and close your eyes, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And so the first, we're going to pray for physical healing in a minute. Before we do that, though, I want to pray for the most important kind of healing, and that is spiritual healing. The healing of a fractured relationship with God. If you've come into this place and you're distant from God today, you haven't been serving the Lord, maybe it's been just a long time since you've talked to God or been in His Word or been in church, and you just haven't been walking with the Lord, or perhaps you've never really had that relationship with God, I want you to know that God still loves you. He cares about you. He died on the cross to save you. He died so you could have life. And so if you're here today and you want to pray to receive Christ into your life and you want to experience spiritual healing, healing of a fractured relationship with God, Jesus is here to do that right now. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, if you'd like to respond and you'd like to pray to receive Christ in your life, I'd like you to just let me know that just by raising your hand when I get to three. And when you raise your hand, you're just saying, Tim, that's me. I want to pray that prayer with you today. And then I'm going to lead everyone who raises their hand. I'm going to lead you in a prayer together. So if that's you today, want to make a recommitment of your life to Christ or a first-time commitment of your life to Christ, you raise your hand and God's going to do a miracle in your life today. One, two, three. Awesome. Yeah. Praise God. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All over this place. Hallelujah. Look, I'm believing God's going to do some miracles today. God's going to heal people today, but this is the biggest one right now. Right now, this is the biggest one. Anybody else want to join those five or six that have raised their hand? God bless you right over here. Thank you. Others. I don't care how far you feel like you're from God. I want you to know God is right here. Thank you, young man. God bless you. God is right here. He's got open arms. Open arms. Yeah, right here. Awesome. I'm going to wait just another moment. Anybody else? Anybody else want to respond to this great invitation? Hallelujah. All right. Those of you who raise your hand, God bless you. God bless you. God's doing a miracle right now in your life. You're not here by accident today. You're here in church because God wanted you to hear. God wanted you to hear this message. And so I'm going to pray with you right now. I'm going to lead you into prayer, and I'm going to ask you to just pray after me. But I want you to know that you're not just repeating words. God sees your heart today. Church, I'm going to ask you to pray with those that have raised their hand and are praying this prayer to receive the Lord. So all together, Lord Jesus, I bring you my life today. God, I want to have a relationship with you. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe you have risen from the dead. So Lord, this morning, I want to start a new life with you. Be my Savior and be the Lord of my life. Amen.